Speaking of radio, the Jack Benny program.
And I spent 16 or 17 of the most beautiful years of my life with him. A man who was one of a kind.
I think everyone would agree with you.
Well, what the hell, he proved that.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet a new addition to our little group, that famous orchestra leader, Phil Harris.
Thank you. And thank you, Jack.
I want to apologize, Phil, for not introducing you sooner.
Oh, that's all right.
You know how it is, the opening program and all the nervousness and excitement and that reporter bothering me all the time, you know.
But, Jack, he didn't ask you for an interview.
That's what bothers him.
Does not. Oh, Mary, this is Phil Harris. Phil, this is Mary Livingston.
Hello, Mary. I've always wanted to meet you, and I'm very happy that we're going to be together.
Oh, thank you. I'll be glad to have dinner with you tonight.
Mary, he didn't ask you to go to dinner.
What a cheap guy.
Don't mind her. One thing I want to tell you, Phil, you're going to enjoy being with us. I never interfere with anything. You can always pick out your own music. In fact, you can be your own boss. And not only that, I'll always see that you get the best joke.
What joke?
The one about being your own boss.
Quiet. Well, Phil, how about a little number? Let's hear the new orchestra. Eh?
All right, Jack. For the first number, we'll play Bye Bye Baby.
Well, play Don, or John. Or what's your first name, Phil?
Steve.
Oh, yes, play Frank. Reporter.
He was exactly opposite of what he portrayed. Mm-hmm. In other words, he was very, very generous. And his biggest asset on the air was being tight, you know.
Yes.
But he was exactly opposite. Otherwise, like he came to me one time and he said, Phil, when he used to cue, you know, me drinking and all this, he said, you keep drinking like that, it won't be funny anymore. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same way. He was identically opposite. He used to come to me maybe every 4 or 5 months and say, go to so-and-so and get yourself some more money. I said, look, I'm getting plenty. All I'm saying is, hello, Mary, here comes Rochester, you know. I could phone it in, you know what I mean? He says, go tell him to give you some more money.
Everybody would get lines that would put Jack down on his show.
Well, oh,
and
sure.
And Jack loved that. That's what he was looking for.
I never will forget. He came to me one time. I don't know what the... I couldn't tell you what the line was. But after it was over, he came to me and he said, Phil, do you like this job? And I said, I certainly do. I said, it's the first time I've ever had a home and the first time I don't have to go on the road. And he said, well, would you like to keep it? I said, I certainly would. He said, well, don't ever say anything sweet to me again. That was his line.
We didn't rehearse a great deal because comedy loses its spontaneity if you do. You know, then it becomes too rote and planned.
Singer Dennis Day.
And Jack didn't want to do that. Never rehearsed a great deal. You may have one or two readings at most.
Mm-hmm.
And it had that sense. I always got a great charge out of going to the Jack Benny rehearsals and the shows itself because you knew you were going to have fun. And everybody did enjoy themselves. And there was no animosity among any of us. You know, we weren't jealous of one another. We all got along just absolutely great.
We all got your star spot on the show.
That's
right.
I mean,
right. Really had a good feature.
That's right. Everyone got his feature spot. And you know the material was the greatest.
Mm. The show was going on Sunday, for example. When did it start for you as an actor and a singer on the show? Thursday or Friday?
I'd start at least on Wednesday because I'd have to get with the arranger, pick out the song, talk to Jack and Mary and whatever suggestions they might have as far as the song is concerned. I'd make my suggestions. Then we'd have to get with the arranger as far as key and the routine, and then he'd have to make the arrangement. Then the next time I came in for a rehearsal with the orchestra was on a Sunday morning, usually around 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I got there, and the cast would probably arrive around 11:30, 12 o'clock. But I would rehearse with the orchestra in my period of time, usually then, on Sunday morning. And that's after I'd rehearsed once or twice, and that was all. Because he'd send the orchestra home. He never, out.
Mm-hmm.
Jack would never let the orchestra sit there to hear the rehearsal of the comedy.
Oh, really?
No. Because he wanted them to hear it for the first time, as well as the audience sitting in the audience and the people at home listening to their radios. That's why he loved, Frank Gremley. They always put a microphone under Frank Gremley, because Frank was a great audience, and he had an infectious laugh.
Uh-huh.
And he'd break up at anything that Jack or any of us would say. So you see, they kept the spontaneity there by dismissing the orchestra. And the first time they heard what was going on as far as the show was concerned, they'd rehearse their cues for the bridges and things like that. But they didn't hear any of the comedy at all.
I'll get the scripts ready, and then... Well, that must be the boys now. It's about time. Come in!
Well, hello, everybody.
Hiya, Jackson, Dennis.
Hello, Livy, you delectable Cupid doll.
Well, if it isn't little old Phil Harris, the breath that made Milwaukee famous. Now, look, Don, you too, Phil. Look, when I call a rehearsal for a certain time, I expect you to be here.
Wait a minute, Jackson. What's your rush? Take it easy. Relax. You'll have a show Sunday.
What?
And suppose you do have a lousy one. Nobody's going to turn off the radio. I come on right after you.
Phil.
You got better insurance than Fred Allen.
Phil. Phil. Pencil head. It just so happens that I was on the air 15 years before you even had your own show.
I know, and what happens? The minute I'm on my own, they invent television. They want to see me, too.
Television?
Look, Dad, you better iron out those wrinkles if you want to stick around.
What?
Them blue eyes ain't going to do it alone.
Well, Phil, I'll admit one thing. You're a natural for television. The screen is square and your head will fit right in it. How is that, Don? Don? Mary, where's Don?
His girdle broke and he can't get out of the den.
Well, Dennis. Dennis!
Don's got me pinned in the corner.
Well, come back here, both of you. How we ever get a show put together, I'll never know.
We finally got it down to where it was so oiled and so beautiful and so well written before we went into rehearsal that we used to have a reading, say, like on Saturday afternoon, and then they would make the cuts or whatever it is. Then we'd start Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We go through a rehearsal, we go back in the room, they cut it, poo with it, and we'd go through it again, and then we'd go to lunch, and we'd come back, and the first program would go on at 4, and the second one at 8:30. That's when we, before tape, before we do it for New York, and then we did it for the coast.
It was a relatively easy stint then to...
Yeah,
do that just
the musicians days. Were making about three times as much as they're making now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now everything is put on the tape, and once they got it, they got it.
Mm-hmm.
But these musicians in those days, for one day alone back there, a sideman, was making $90 or $100 mm-hmm. for Sunday alone. Because mm-hmm. we did a broadcast and then a rebroadcast, One for the east and one for the coast.
Mm-hmm. Did, if you had a particularly good gag in that, or a flub maybe, in the first show...
There's no way you can fix a flub.
You can't do it again.
No way.
You wouldn't repeat
the flub.
They have
tried every way in the world to make a flub, and it won't work, or whatever you call it. No, you can't set one up.
In other words, if you screwed it up on the first show, you just...
It won't
did it
play.
Straight to second
it won't
show.
Play.
Yeah. It comes off fake then, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've never tried to set up one. Mary used to make one frequently, or not frequently, infrequently. And it used to play, or we all did, you know. But I mean, As far as setting a trap, it won't work.
Sometimes I know the writers would really pick up on something that went wrong on one show, and then
it's like Benny. Benny had this. It was the most beautiful thing in the world. Now, a gag that he got hung on years ago, I never will forget, is like a moose needs a hat rack. Now, he used that for years, and he could never get a laugh with it, but it is very funny if you stop to figure it out. And then the other one was Washington slept here. You know, he liked to never live that picture down. But he wouldn't let people forget about it, you know. Yeah. I mean,
and the hornblows at midnight, too.
His whole thing, that's right. His whole thing was he'd set up a line, and then he'd go maybe 5 or 6 minutes, and then he'd trip it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he'd go another 5 or 6 minutes, and then he'd bang you with it again.
Program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, on last week's program, everybody made so many mistakes in reading their lines that Jack felt it was necessary to call a special meeting. At the moment, we find the cast assembled in Jack's living room.
Now, look, kids, I want you to take what I'm going to say in the spirit in which it's given. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. But I did feel it was necessary to call this meeting.
All right, Jack. What's the meeting about?
Yeah, let's get it over with, huh?
Well, Phil, as I said before, I'm not angry. But on last week's program, I never heard so... Dennis, you're not paying attention. Get away from that fishbowl.
The last time I looked in this bowl, there were only 2 goldfish.
I know. Now, kids...
How come there are 3 of them now?
Because the first 2 fell in love and got married. That's why. Now, kids...
Well, if they just got married, why'd they take in a boarder?
Look, if they didn't take in a boarder, the little one is a baby.
Oh, yeah. The one on the right is the mother.
No, Dennis. The one on the right is the father.
He could have fooled me.
Dennis, will you do me a favor?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack. You called us over here for a meeting, so let's get on with it.
Yes, Jack. Tell us what's on your mind.
I'm trying to. I called this meeting to find out why there were so many mistakes made on last week's broadcast.
All right, so we made a few mistakes. Is that a reason for you to get mad?
I told you, I'm not mad.
Livy's right, Jackson. You're burned up and you know it.
I'm not burned up.
Jack, there's no reason for you to get so upset.
Upset? What makes you think I'm upset?
You look like a football coach whose team has to play Notre Dame.
All right. You kids can have your little joke. And one couldn't be a star of my magnitude without being able to take a few jibes from his underlings. But, as I said before, I'm not mad. All I want to do...
Mr. Benny.
What do you want now?
Are you sure the one on the left is the mother?
Yes, Dennis, the one on the left is the mother.
The one on the right is prettier.
All right. So the father is prettier than the mother.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Sure it does, kid. Take me and Alice.
Phil, be quiet.
Okay, Jackson, okay. I'd like to get this meeting over anyway. What kind of mistakes did we make last week?
Well, for one thing, Phil, you don't even know how to speak the English language. If a word has over 2 syllables, you don't even know what it means.
I may not know what it means, Jackson, but when I speak, I have perfect diction.
Phil, as long as you brought that up, I've got news for you. I've heard better diction coming out of the exhaust pipe of a Greyhound bus. Believe me, Phil, the only thing that sounds worse than Harris the speaker is Harris the musician.
Hold it, Jackson. Hold it. It may interest you to know that I just got an offer to make a guest appearance with Arturo Toscanini.
You? You got an offer from Toscanini?
Yes, he wants me to be first whip snapper when he plays Mule Train.
Well, that you can do, I know.
Jack, if you're just going to ball out Phil, why did you call the rest of us?
Because you all made mistakes last week.
Wait a minute, Jackson. I didn't make no mistake.
Oh, you didn't, eh? Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Open the phonograph and play that record of last week's program.
Okay.
Now put the needle where I told
coochie,
you to...
Coochie-coo, baby. Coochie-coochie-coo.
Dennis, get your hand out of that fishbowl. Anyway, you're tickling the father. Now, go ahead, Rochester. Start the record where I've got that little chalk mark. You say you didn't make any mistakes, eh, Phil? Just listen. This is the part where we were talking about your picture, Wabash Avenue. Now, listen.
Well, it ain't exactly retakes. You see, there's a scene in the picture of me singing That's What I Like About the South.
Uh-huh.
And because of the foreign market, I've been down to the studio dubbing in the lyrics in French, German, Spanish, Greek, Portuguese, and Italian. Portuguese?
That's all, Rochester. Did you hear that, Phil? Did you hear that? Portuguese.
I thought it sounded cute. Play it again, Roch.
Never mind.
Jack, I don't think it's fair of you to ball Phil out.
I've been waiting for you to speak up. Rochester, put that other record on, the one marked Mary.
Jack, if you're trying to tell me that I make a mistake now and then, you needn't bother because I know it.
Mary, I don't mind the little fluffs you've made, like the time you ordered a chisswee sandwich. You make little mistakes like that every now and then. But Mary, what do you think was your biggest mistake?
Leaving the May Company.
I won't argue that point. If you want to eat and get fat, that's your business. Now, I have a record here.
Well, Mr. Benny, are you sure the one on the left is the mother?
I'm sure. And Dennis, stop interrupting. I want to get this meeting over with because I have to go to see Ronald Coleman on some very important business. Now, look, Mary, you say you didn't make any mistake last week. Look, I want you to hear a recording of a program we did a few weeks ago. Rochester, put it on where I've got that little chalk mark.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen, Mary.
Mary, all the networks are nice. And it's about time people realize that there's no animosity between them.
There isn't?
Of course not. Now, take CBS. They even put Johnson's wax on the floors.
Jack, CBS didn't put it there. So many stars have come over, they've tracked it in on their heads.
On their shoes.
That's enough, Rochester. That's enough. You hear that, Mary? The word was supposed to be shoes. Now, how in the world did you possibly arrive at the word head?
Jack, that happened 4 weeks ago. I didn't deny it. I said I was guilty. You sentenced me to 3 days at hard labor. I painted your house. Now, let's forget it.
You won't forget it until you finish the windowsills. I want them green.
Jack, is the meeting over?
No, Don, not yet. I want to show Mary a fluff that she made on last week's program. Rochester, play that first record again.
Yes, sir.
The place I'm looking for is somewhere around the middle. Go ahead, play it.
Isn't it wonderful out here on the ocean?
Yes, Don, there's nothing I love better than a no-obligation cruise.
Oh, that's not it, Rochester. Move the needle further down.
Yes, sir, okay.
It's a little rough.
Well, it can't get too rough for me. You know, during the First World War, I used to be on the Navy.
A little further down.
Wait a minute. Play that last part again.
What's the matter?
Jack, you said you were on the Navy instead of in the Navy.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't, eh? Rochester, play that part again.
Okay.
Jack, you better sit down. The ocean's a little rough.
Well, it can't get too rough for me. You know, during the First World War, I used to be on the Navy.
Well, Dad, shall we dance?
Phil.
Jack, how could you make a mistake like that?
Yeah, the one on the right is the mother.
Dennis, be quiet.
Oh, on the Navy. You know, Jackson, your face is the color of my eyes.
Okay, Jack. What have you got to say now?
I got this to say. I did not make a mistake.
What?
I said I did not make a mistake.
But, Jack, we heard it distinctly. You said you were on the Navy.
I said it because it's correct. When I became a sailor during the First World War, they put me on board a ship called the USS Navy. Therefore, I was on the Navy, shut up, and meeting adjourned.
You were around Benny. You were around a guy that... He and Fred Allen and guys like that, they're timing, you know. They're Like Benny used to have office hours in Beverly Hills. Those writers had to be there. Didn't if they were there at a certain time, he sat at the table. Nobody took bits home like they do now. You do this and you two writers do. No way. You sat right at the table and started this thing. And I've been in there sometime. Jack and I, we really got along. And I've been in there sometime when they had a line for me to break the building down.
Mm-hmm.
And Benny'd say, no, does not fit his character. I've been too long building it up. In other words, he protected. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you hear a lot of other shows. They had a guy in the air one time. They had him doing this, doing that. First thing you know, they burn him out. Benny came to me one time. He said, there's no way to kill you. I found you four stories down in the basement. I brought you out. I had you married. I had you drinking. I had two kids. I had you back on the booze again. He said, there's no way to kill you. Because, you know, people knew it wasn't true, you know. See, that was Benny's whole stock and trade. You had to have something that he could magnify.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when after Kenny Baker left, we couldn't find a singer. He always wanted a tenor, you know. That's what Benny wanted, to fit in there. So we finally saw this picture, and we went into the Bronx, and McNulty is his real name. And I went over, and I had dinner over at his house. And at the first rehearsal, Jack looked over, and he said, Dennis? And Dennis said, yes, please. Well, that was it. He had to find something that he could magnify. And he magnified mine by being a ladies' man or a drinker, you know what I mean.
That was 1-2 Button Your Shoe from the motion picture Pennies from Heaven, played by Phil Harris's orchestra with Jack Benny directing and doing okay. Hey, you finished late.
Well, I started late.
Oh. You know, Don, I can't understand Phil doing a thing like this. He's always been here on time. I hope he's not out of town.
Why, he can't be. I saw him at the Clover Club about 9:30 last night with a blonde.
With a blonde, huh? Mm-hmm. See, that reminds me. I saw him last night about 11 o'clock at the Coconut Grove, and he was with a brunette.
He was?
Yeah.
I wonder what color hair he's with now.
Say, that Phil is quite a ladies' man. Not that I care, but I don't want it to interfere with this program, that's all.
Well, perhaps Mr. Blue, his arranger, knows where he is.
That's right. Hey, Ben, you don't happen to know where Phil is, do you?
Well, the last time I saw him was Friday night.
Uh-huh.
He was at the Trocadero, and he had a beautiful redhead with him, and she was sitting on his lap.
Well, I don't care about last night, you know.
Well, I do, Mr. Ben, because she was my redhead.
Well, see if you can find her. And that guy Harris pays more attention to girls than he does to his job.
Why don't you fire him, Jack?
Oh, I wouldn't do that. He's a nice fellow and a likable character. Besides, he's got an iron-bound contract.
Hey, Jack, here comes Phil now.
Well, that's nice of him. Maybe he dropped in for tea.
How are you, fellas?
Hi, Jack.
Well, it was sweet of you to stop in, Mr. Gable.
What's the big idea?
Oh, nothing. Only if I had known you were coming, we would have baked a blonde. I mean, a cake.
I still don't get you.
Now, listen, Phil. I'm a pretty regular fella, and I don't care anything about your private life, which seems to be quite public. But an artist must maintain a certain amount of dignity.
But I didn't do
it. Why, what would people think if they saw me out with a half a dozen different girls?
They'd think you were Phil Harris.
Go away. Now, Phil, when this program's on, you gotta be here on time.
All right, Jack, I'm sorry.
Of course, in all fairness to you, it's not your fault as much as it is the girls. Give me their phone numbers. I'll tell them a thing.
Oh, no.
Well, just don't let it happen again, that's all. I bet he thinks I'm jealous. I can sit down on the phone right now and call 10 girls.
That's nothing. Phil can sit down on the phone and have 10 girls call him.
Oh, he can, huh?
Thanks, Mary. What are you doing tonight?
It's a date.
It was quick. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, last Sunday night, we started a Western sketch which was thoughtlessly interrupted by our tenor singer, Mr. Baker, when he roller skated down Hollywood Boulevard, upsetting a pushcart in our play. So tonight, if I can get a little cooperation from the members of this company, we will proceed with our Western drama entitled Buck Benny Rides Again, or One Man on a Horse. Now, as you may remember...
There's the phone.
I'll take it. Hello? Yes? Who? Oh, hello, Miss Lombard. It's Carol Lombard, fellas. Yes? Yes, Miss Lombard? You want to speak to Phil Harris? Oh, sure, he's here. Oh, Miss Lombard, I want to tell you how much I enjoy your work on the screen. I thought your last picture was just... Oh, Phil Harris. Yes. For you, rat. Hello.
Oh, hello, Carol. How are you, honey? Well, I'm sorry, dear, but I had a previous engagement and I just couldn't get away.
Come on, Phil. You're holding up the program.
What's that, Carol? All right. How about tomorrow night, sugar? Yeah, honey.
Sugar, honey. What's he doing, ordering groceries?
Yes, Carol. Sure I will. All right, dear.
Hey, Phil, let me talk to her a minute, will you?
I'll be there at 8 o'clock sharp. Yes, honey?
Let me talk to her a second.
Huh? Oh, Carol, Jack Benny wants to talk to you. Here you are, Jack.
Hello, Carol. This is Jackie. I just wanted to... Hello? 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 I guess we were disconnected. You know, these cheap Hollywood phones.
To show you what kind of a man Jack Benny was, Jack Benny let me do comedy exactly right following him. So you can imagine what I had going in, what kind of account I had going in. I had the highest rating in the world going in, the best rating.
Absolutely.
And I'm doing comedy. That's how beautiful. You know, I have two daughters. I mean, I'm doing a different type of comedy, you know, Alice and myself. But I mean, what other guy? And then I'm running through the alley after they go to CBS. I'm running through the alley to warm my audience up. Mm-hmm. And he's let me off the first 15. He puts me on the first 15 minutes so that I can go get out of there and go and start my own show. That's a pretty nice guy, isn't it?
I would say. Sure, he was doing it. You were both at NBC initially.
And then he went to CBS.
Then he went over to CBS, was a couple blocks
down. And it's a block
down.
Away. Yeah. A block and a half away. And
you will know.
I used to run through the alley. That's right.
And he'd let you get away.
First 15 minutes, he put me on and then let me fly in there so I could warm up my audience at NBC.
Jack Benny, who was the comedy genius of all time and who taught all of us.
Actor Elliot Lewis.
That was his theory, that you made jokes out of nothing. They would make a joke out of something that started at the beginning of a half-hour show. By the end of the show, you're laughing hysterically. Nothing funny, really. It wasn't a joke. But it was just, the gas man and the car and all of the things. The train to Cucamonga. And I remember a routine we did on the Benny Show where every year, Jack and the group go to New York, and that therefore is the scene in the railway station. And Frank Nelson is saying, yes. He's selling tickets, and Jack's in line, and Mel is on the speaker going, and Cucamonga, and every year we did this. And I was always the man in line in front of Jack, and Jack's trying to get a ticket, buy his ticket to go to New York. And the first routine that we did, and the reason we then continued it, was that we took the lyric of Glockamora, and all I did was read the lyric. And Jack was very nervous about it. He said, I don't know. Do you think you ought to be crazy? Or, is that going to be funny? And I said, I don't know. It just seems to me that it's funny if I just ask Frank Nelson these questions. How are things in Glockamora? And he says, fine. And I said, is that little brook still rippling there? And he said, oh, yes. Well, you can imagine. And you're doing this, Frank and I talking, and Jack Benny is standing behind me, just staring at the audience with that look. You know, when you did the elbow.
Attention, please. Train leading on track 8 for Glendale, Barstow, and Glockamora.
I wonder which ticket window I should go to. I beg your pardon, mister, but are you validating tickets?
Oh, what do you think I'm doing with this rubber stamp? Voting for Hoover?
Look, mister, all I want to do is get these tickets validated. That's all. I'm going to Chicago.
Chicago? Well.
Yes. I'm returning in 4 weeks.
I knew there was a catch to it.
Now, look, mister, I'm going to report you to the station master and see...
Pardon me just a moment. I'm in a hurry. Do you mind if I go first?
No, it's quite all right.
And what can I do for you, sir?
Well, I'd like to know something. I just heard the train announcer say that the train on track 8 now goes to Glendale, Barstow, and Glockamora.
That's right. Now, what is it you want to know?
How are things in Glockamora? Is that little brook still leaping there?
Yes, it is.
Does it still run down to Donny Cove through Killybegs, Kilkerry, and Kildare?
Yes, it does.
Is that willow tree still weeping there?
Uh-huh.
Does that lassie with the twinkling eye come smiling by? And does she walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me there?
Yes, she does.
Give me a ticket to West Los Angeles.
There's your ticket, and have a pleasant trip.
Thanks.
To him, he's got to be nice yet.
What is funny about it? I don't know. It's just, but it was funny. It was funny stuff. And so, well, Jack would create these characters, and he created the image of Phil and the image of, therefore, Remley. He created Phil and Remley, image for them and characters for them, so strong that Phil and I and Alice and the real little girls were in the Santa Claus Lane parade on Thanksgiving down Hollywood Boulevard one year, and it was freezing cold. And without thinking, we each took a mug of coffee, hot coffee. And the girls were all bundled up warm, and one of them, the kid sat on my lap, and the other kid was on Phil's lap. And we stopped at one place, and I reached to get the coffee. I was really shivering. I was so cold. And I picked it up, and Phil, without seeing that I was doing it, did the same thing, and he picked his up. And we had stopped, and there were crowds on either side of the street, and they started to laugh. They thought we were drinking booze. They thought we were stoned, you know, and you don't know what to do. You got a little kid on your lap, and the audience is laughing because they think you're drinking whiskey, which we weren't. Okay. We're just hot coffee, you know. But that's how firmly the Benny Show created those characters and established those characters.
Hey, gosh, Frankie, just think, in a couple of hours, we'll be on that super cheap bound for Detroit.
Yeah. Gee, Curly, I can hardly wait. Two more scotch and waters, bartender.
Hey, Frankie, what time is it?
4 o'clock.
What time we come in this joint?
3 o'clock.
That ain't so bad. We only been here 13 hours. Set him up again, bartender.
Here you are.
Hey, Frankie, I think I ought to call up Alice and tell her where I am.
Why, Curly?
Well, I don't want her to think I'm wasting my time in a pool room.
I'll call her later.
Okay.
You know, Curly, I've been thinking and thinking for weeks and weeks. I just realized something.
What?
You and me are a couple of bums.
Well, we ain't so bad. Another round, bartender.
Here you are. You know, I'm not too happy about this trip, Curly. I'll probably be lonesome in Detroit. You'll probably spend all your time with Benny.
Nah. You can't have no fun. You can't have no fun running around with Jackson. His idea of a big time is standing on the street corner trying to whistle at dames.
Trying to whistle?
Yeah, it takes him a half an hour to pucker up those wrinkled old lips.
No kidding.
Yeah, and by the time he does get them puckered, he's too pooped to blow. Two scotches and water, bartender.
Two for me, too.
There you are. Hey, Frankie, look, it's getting late. We ought to get to that station. I'll go out and call a cab.
No, let's have another drink and float down.
We ain't got no time. Hey, bartender, how much do I owe you?
$475.
Okay, charge it to my account.
$475? You know, Curly, that's kind of expensive.
Yeah, but look at the money we save on food. Come on, we're supposed to pick up Dennis Day on the way to the station. Let's get out of here.
Well, he took a lot of ribbing as a member of your band on the Benny Show, Frankie Remley.
Oh, Benny loved him.
Yeah.
And they used to go on vacations during the summer. Mm-hmm. Benny used to love to drive and places and everything. He and Remley, the real Remley, were very close friends. Mm-hmm. He liked Remley. In other words, he let me use his name on my program, following him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Benny, I'll tell you something. God love him. He was one of a kind.
You were actually conducting the band on his show for all those years that you were with him?
That's right.
So you had more to do than just, just reading the lines. But
it wasn't hard because after What's Called Left, J-E-L-L-O, mm-hmm. They had a little trouble with that or something, and I wrote, ba da 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 da, you're a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Ba da 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 dee, da 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 dee, da 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 da. That's all there was. Every week is the same thing. The only thing is I had a special arranger for Dennis Day to do the ballad, and then the only other things were little eight-bar phrases to break up the sequences, you know what I mean?
But there was a time when you and the band would perform a number within the
very
show,
very seldom,
too.
No.
Playfill,
no.
I know, he used to
say. Oh, well, Playfill was when they said, like, for Dennis, they didn't say who was directing Dennis, you know. But no, I very seldom. I had one that they talked about a lot was when he analyzed That's What I Like About the South.
Yes.
Hey, Jackson, if you want to hear something good, me and the quartet have worked up a number that's dynamite.
You mean you and the sportsman prepared a commercial?
Sure. Didn't we, fellas? Didn't we, fellas? Did you, fellas? You see, I'm boss here, Phil. Well, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's smoking Luckies and broiling hammy. That's what I like about the South. Down where the Swanee River flows, down where that fine tobacco grows, where every man is a man who knows. That's what I like about the South. If you love me like I love you, send me Luckies PDQ. Raw, raw, raw for SMU. That's what I like about the South.
Then we'll go to Tennessee. That's the place for you and me. They smoke LSMFT. That's what I like about the South.
Yes. Jackson,
what's come with me to old St. Joe, where they love me but the Luckies mow, so free and easy on the droll. That's what I like about the South.
Even down on Basin Street, they would rather smoke than eat, cause Lucky Strikes are hard to beat. That's what I like about the South. Don?
Funny thing about an Eskimo, they only smoke in the evening glow, but the nights are 6 months long, you know, and that's what I like about the North.
I'd rather be in Dixieland, cause in that field I'd look so grand, with a big tobacco leaf in my hand. That's what I like about the South.
Here's Effie Boone with all the news, Speedy Riggs in his buckle shoes, and Lucky Strike is the one they choose. That's what I like about the South.